I invite you to turn with me to the book of Gospel Mark. Gospel Mark after Matthew. It's a chapter 10, verse 32 to 34. This is one of the greatest verse in the book of Mark, for it unfolds us the determination of Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill his missions or his ministry on earth. And so if you have turned to the Gospel Mark chapter 10, verse 32 to 34, may I read aloud for you as you read along with me silently. I'm reading from English Standard Version 2011. And they were on the road, talking about the disciples, going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him, and spit on him, and flog him, and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." This is the word of God. Years ago, I remember staying in Delhi, and sometimes I attend church just to meet my friends. And then I realized that there are some other people who are like me. They come just to meet friends and not to worship the Lord. And then I also find some interesting people. They come to sew their dresses, their new dresses for pheasants or for any other things. And I find lots of people attending church for many, many reasons. And even in the place where I come from, there are many people who wanted to become the follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, by profession, all of us from the place where I come are the follower of Jesus Christ. But are we really a true disciples? Are we really the follower of Jesus Christ? I'm afraid I don't think so. And I also find a people, some of my friends, who has stopped reading their Bible, who has stopped praying to God, and who has stopped attending church. And the reason, the simple reason for that is because God did not do for them what they want God to do for them. And there are still other types of people, like Charles Darwin, or like Charles Templeton, or like like Stalin. These people, they have turned their back on God, and they wanted to do nothing with Christianity or with God. And I want to tell you more from the Bible. There are a group of people who not only turned their back on God, but who wanted to kill Jesus Christ our Lord. And these are the people, these are the Jews, the covenant people of God. And they would not only reject the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, but they would crucify him with the Gentiles. This is what man always does. Man cannot follow Christ, or man cannot love Jesus Christ. I believe as we read this passage, Mark 10, 32 to 34, as we hear and as we see the people following Jesus Christ, I believe there are some people here who follow Jesus Christ, who believe he is a Messiah, and even to the point of entering to the Jerusalem, when Jesus Christ come riding in a donkey and people say, "Hosanna, Hosanna." I believe there are some of the people who also shouted, "Crucify him," 1 week later. These are the types of people where we found here. And the simple reason for it is that because they do not know why they are following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why do we follow Jesus Christ? Why do we follow our Savior? We follow Jesus Christ. We can follow Jesus Christ, and we must follow Jesus Christ only when we understand him, when we understand his ministry. And for us who are in the church now, I believe we know the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so today from this passage, I would just like to remind us the ministry of Jesus Christ before we come to the Lord's table. And I want to preach on a theme. We must follow Christ because of his ministry. The Jews, or the people of Israel at the time of Jesus Christ, they followed Jesus Christ with the belief that he is a Messiah and he would be bringing a political kingdom, overthrowing the Roman government. But the ministry or the mission of Messiah is not that one. For we see here in verse 33, Jesus says, saying, see, and that is, in this passage, this is the first imperative, and this is the only imperative, this is the only commandment which Jesus tells to the people. And when he see this word, he is drawing their attention, and he is instructing them. And then after that he says, almost in the last part of verse 34, and flog him and kill him. And Jesus was telling about this. And by the way, this is the third time Jesus predicted about his death and resurrection, about his ministry. The first one was, it's very easy to remember, it is in chapter 8, verse 31. And the second one was chapter 9, verse 31. And even this third prediction is 32 to 34. And this passage, 32 to 34, is the most vivid description of how Jesus Christ is going to be crucified, how Jesus is going to be suffered in the hands of Jews and in the hands of Gentiles by implications and by humankind. And here what is interesting to see here is that Jesus is determined to go to Jerusalem, and Jesus is determined to die. And even in verse 32, because we see there, verse 32, and Jesus was walking ahead, it says here. So the word here, the idea of walking ahead here is Jesus Christ leading the people right on top, walking magisterially with authority, not just by happenstance. Jesus was leading them with full of zeal and enthusiasm to go to Jerusalem. And the reason we might be wondering, we might be thinking, why is the Jesus Christ wanting to, longing to go to Jerusalem and die? Dying is not a good thing. We will be afraid. Suffering is a bad thing. But Jesus Christ is willing to go here. This shows us that the ministry of the Son of Man is to suffer and die, ultimately die for the sinners. That is the reason. And this is what Mark wants to unfold us. And that is the reason I believe it is recorded three times about Jesus predicting about his death and resurrection. And we see that ultimately in verse 45, though we would not be going till there, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We can agree, and it is true, that the whole theme of the book of Mark is this, that the Son of Man, the ministry of the Son of Man, is to serve and to give his life a ransom for many in just a one line verse. And I believe verse 32 to 34 is a summarization, or is a picture of Christ's ministry on earth in a one paragraph. While verse 45 is in one line, one verse, which summarizes it, this verse 32, 34 is a picture. If you take a camera, or if you take a video camera, and if you just click it to this incident, and if we know the reason why he is going to Jerusalem, and how he is leading the actions and the place, I believe that we would be understanding the ministry of the Son of Man on earth. And here today I would just like to show us two folds ministry of Jesus Christ. And the first one is the twofold ministry of Jesus Christ. The first one is his suffering ministry. And to follow with me easier, let me tell the second one. The second fold ministry of Jesus Christ is to save us, saving us, suffering for our sake. And here the first point is suffering Jesus, suffering Christ. And so we follow Christ, and we must follow Christ because Jesus is our shepherd. And we are going to see from here. In verse 32 to 33, we would be seeing Jesus Christ as a shepherd, and he has demonstrated his ministry to us by shepherding his people, even in this crucial time when he is going to Jerusalem to be crucified, to die for mankind. And by the way, Jesus Christ, he identified himself. You will not be seeing the word shepherd here. I'm just telling about the character, the job description of a shepherd, and we'll find here. But Jesus Christ, he explicitly, he mentioned that he is a good shepherd in the book of John, Gospel John, John 10. He said that I'm a good shepherd. And moreover, he also mentioned himself as a shepherd even in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 14, verse 17, when Jesus said that, when Jesus quoted the scriptures, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And so Jesus Christ, he identified himself as shepherd. And in fact, it is true that he suffered in even in his ministry on earth. He was serving as a shepherd to these people. But this Jesus is not just an ordinary shepherd who tends the actual sheep, the animal sheep. Jesus Christ is a shepherd which is beyond all the capacity and the willing of the human shepherd. For this Jesus, in John chapter 10, verse 11, it says, Jesus Christ laid down his life for his sheep. And that's what we see even in this passage. And so here, they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. We follow Christ, and we must follow Christ because he leads us. And we see that one from Jesus was walking ahead of them. Here, as I have told earlier, the idea is not just Jesus Christ walking ahead of the disciples here. By the way, here, there are four pronouns here, every time using they. And in the verse 32, the word they is referring to the disciples. And I believe this is to the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. And then as we a little bit move down, we see, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed, the disciples, and those who followed them. That will be the other people apart from Jesus' disciples. How do we know that one? Because Jesus said after that, and Jesus specifically, he mentioned, and taking the 12. So Jesus Christ mentioned differently. So there are two groups of people even in verse 32. And in verse 33, the pronoun they is referring to the chief priests and the scribes. And by implications, it refers to the nation of Israel, both great and small, both chief priests and even the scums of the people. And in verse 34, the word they is referring to the Gentiles. And I just want to make clear that one so that we know whom we are talking about. And here they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. Yet the word walking ahead is Jesus Christ leading them. And he is leading them as an... He is leading them as an authoritative person. He is leading them. He is walking ahead, not just as walking ahead, but he walks ahead with majesty. He walks ahead with authority, and he walks ahead leading the people. And we can identify him, and we can just see him. We picture him as a good shepherd who leads out his people. And here, the people, they were on the road. It just doesn't say they were going up to Jerusalem. And I believe it has a pictures when they say the word road. Because in the Old Testament and when we study the Bible, most of the time the road is referring to the way of the righteous. And so here when they were on the road, they were on the road of pilgrims. By the way, they are going up to Jerusalem. And in this Jerusalem, they are going for Passover. And so these people who are coming to Jerusalem, who are going up to Jerusalem, they are on their pilgrim's journey for the celebration of Passover. By the way, even Our Lord Jesus Christ is described in the book of Acts as the way. And so these people are on the pilgrim's journey going up to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is a very high place, and it is higher than most of the other cities and villages in the Israelite. And so whenever they describe of Jerusalem, they say going up to Jerusalem. And so this is what we see here. And Jesus was walking ahead of them. And by the way, this is the last journey of Jesus Christ to Jerusalem. He has been living for almost 33 and a half years. And the Bible records only two times Jesus Christ attending a Passover. The first Passover, the second Passover was not mentioned. And the third Passover, this is the Passover which he will be celebrating. And ultimately, he will become the Passover lamb, sacrificing himself, making a new covenant to die and to save the sinners. And as we see here, these pilgrims walking on to the Jerusalem and Jesus Christ leading, we also need to know, and I believe we know, that we are pilgrims in this world. We are on a journey. This world is not our home. And Jesus Christ is always leading us ahead. And as we walk as a pilgrim's journey on our life here on earth, sometimes it is rough, sometimes it is tough. But Jesus, make sure and know that Jesus Christ is leading us. We may be tired, we may be scared, but Jesus Christ, who led this Jews on the pilgrim way to Jerusalem, is a Jesus who has died for us and who has defeated over sins, over death, and even over the schemes of Satan. We just need to look forward on our pilgrim journey to the captain of our salvation, who has went ahead suffering everything, even to the point of death. And then only when we look at Jesus Christ, we would say like David, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me to the green pastures." And however, we fail. We know God led us. We know our life is pilgrim's journey here. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we stumble. And sometimes our priorities are mixed up. We don't know it. And then we realize that sometimes we're too sinful. We cannot follow Christ. But Jesus is not a strict disciplinarian who says we must be keeping up every pass or that he would be destroying us. We didn't see Jesus as like that. Jesus Christ is a shepherd who cares, who would pick up the poor and who will pick up the weak one. And even in this second phrase, we see Jesus doing that one, and that is, "And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him." Here, I want to turn your attention to the word "taking the 12 again." Before, Jesus Christ was leading them right front. And here, the word "taking the 12 again." Here, the word, the idea of taking the 12 is Jesus Christ not only leading them, but coming and associating with these 12 disciples. And the reason why he did was he wanted to equip them. And we see there, because he says what was happened to him, saying Jesus Christ would be instructing them. Jesus Christ was wanted to equip them. Because here the verse says, "And they were amazed, and those who followed." Many people has known Jesus Christ to be the Messiah. At least all the disciples understood it. But these people, including the disciple, they never knew that the ministry of Jesus Christ, the ministry of the Messiah, is not a political kingdom, but it is to die for his people. They never knew it. The reason they never knew it is because they did not believe what he says. For once, for more than once, twice, Jesus Christ has told plenty to his disciples. And when Peter heard it, in the account of chapter 8, verse 31, when Jesus predicted it, Peter rebuked Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ rebuked him back and said, "Satan, Peter, he say that what Peter says is from the agent Satan. Peter is acting like an agent of Satan. So what Jesus was saying here is that the Messiah, the ministry of the Messiah without a cross, without a suffering, is the idea of Satan. And here, Jesus, but the people also know that Jesus Christ is performing miracles, and some people has understood him to be the Messiah. And so, when Jesus Christ was even walking in the land of Galilee, and when he was performing miracles, the Jews, the scribes, and some of the Pharisees came down from Jerusalem and accused him, and they said to Jesus Christ that he is the king of the demons, the Beelzebub. And so they are having a very great enmity with Christ here. Here, the Jesus Christ and his disciples and the pilgrims are not in Galilee. They are going up to the Jerusalem where these people, where the enemies of Jesus Christ are all there. And so the disciples were just amazed because Jesus Christ was not just only going to the place where his enemies are there, but he was walking boldly. Not only was he walking boldly, but he was walking longingly. He wanted to go because that is his mission. So the disciples just got amazed. And also the other people, they were just afraid because anything might happen. Jesus Christ might be captured. Jesus Christ might be stoned to death because these peoples were enemies. And so the peoples were afraid. And I believe these peoples, some of them were from the Galileans, the friends of Jesus Christ going here. And so here, Jesus Christ, he regrouped his disciples and he was equipping them. And in the account of Luke about these predictions, Luke says that Jesus Christ foretold them. Jesus Christ taught them, instruct them, which would be happening according to the scriptures. And even here we see the word to tell them what was to happen to him. And so this has the idea that Jesus Christ is not predicting individually, but that he is saying, he is laying a discourse which is supposed to happen. And even the word, the adverb here, and taking the 12 again, this adverb again is describing, is modifying the action of Jesus Christ taking. And the reason why it is mentioned is because Jesus Christ has the habit, or Jesus Christ has the way of taking some people aside. And the reason why he did that one is because he wanted to give a special instruction to them. He wanted to equip them. And in this context, he wanted to equip them because he will be crucified, and the disciple did not believe in the crucified Messiah, and he wanted to prepare for that one. And here I would just like to ask each and every one of us who are here, are you taking time in God's word? Are you equipping yourself in God's word? God will equip us only with his word. In this world, as we live on earth, there are a lot of uncertainties. There are lots of fears, and there are lots of difficulties and trials. And the remedies and the solutions for us, we find in the word of God. And as Jesus equipped them, as by coming near to them and by instructing them from the scriptures, in for us, Jesus Christ as a bodily form, he will not be coming down and he will not be showing us the word of God. But we need to look for ourselves. And when Jesus Christ gathered them, taking aside with them, the disciples just came and listened to him. When the master calls them, they listen to him. And we have the word of God, which is the word of Jesus Christ. And I think when we are in troubles and trials, we need to run to the word of God, and we need to find for solutions, not just running out to, and not just hanging around with men and other people. And so here, we also need to learn the lesson from disciples. These disciples, they know that Jerusalem is a dangerous place. But then they were going. The reason why they're going is because their master Jesus Christ is leading them. So when their master lead them, even if they will be dying or whatever, they just obey their masters. And they were following Jesus Christ. And in you must be remembering, even in one instance, in the time of Jesus raising about the Lazarus. Before that one, Thomas said, let's go with him and die with him. So these people were very, in one sense, the Thomas, whom we know to be a doubting Thomas, was a faithful man who wanted even to die for Jesus Christ by following him. And even in the other instance, when Peter was asked, Peter says, Lord, where could we go? You have the word of eternal life. And here what I want to tell us this morning is that, ought we not to trust in God's word? Ought we not to trust God in his word? Because these disciples, they know the dangers is ahead of them. They just trust Christ. And they were even willing to die. And they have decided never to depart from it. And they just walk along the way of Jerusalem. Because he is the true sufferer and he has the eternal life. Not only Jesus lead us and he equip us, but Jesus also, as a shepherd, he protects us. And that's the reason why we follow him and why we want to follow him. In verse 33, we see here, saying, see, we are going up to Jerusalem. And here, Jesus Christ was drawing their attention. And then he was instructing them. And he said, we are going up. And Jesus Christ used the word, we, a plural. He was identifying himself with them. He was involving with the disciples going up to Jerusalem. Before the Gospel Mark, the John Mark, he narrated the story as in a plural third person they. But here he identified Jesus Christ as we. And here what I find and what I see here is that Jesus Christ is not just leaving them alone. Jesus Christ is with them. And he wanted to protect them. He wanted to encourage them. He is willing to go with them on his way to Calvary cross. And we see even when Jesus Christ was betrayed in the garden. We see in John chapter 18 verse 8 and 9. When the people came to arrest Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ says, whom are you seeking? And they say, Christ. And then he said, I am he. Then let these people go. And then John, he interpreted it and he says, this he said so that to fulfill his word that he protects, he did not lose the people whom he owns except Judas. That's what we see. Jesus Christ is protecting his disciples even in this year. So, Jesus Christ is leading us as a Christians. He is equipping us. He will equip us. But when we read the Word of God in the Bible, and he is protecting us. So, we need not fear. We need to follow Christ boldly with confidence. And as we live on this world, we face lots of trials and temptation, and Christ is telling us in the word of Peter, and I would just like to read it out from Peter, 1 Peter 5, 7. It says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. We do not need to worry. We do not need to strive our life in our own. We just need to follow Christ and trust Christ more and more. And even in the Hebrews, the writers exhort us, and I would just like to read it out, and it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We see Jesus Christ as a supporting Jesus. He is our shepherd. But Jesus Christ is not just a shepherd. His ministry is not just shepherding us. His ministry is to save us. By the way, we cannot have a shepherding Jesus if we do not have him as a saving Jesus. Because Jesus Christ clearly mentions that he has his sheep, and there are some other peoples are gods, and so he died only for his sheep. And if you want to be the sheep of his sheepfold, and if you want to be his shepherd, we need to be the people who is saved, who he died for us. And even we have seen that the shepherd died for his sheep. And the comfort of shepherd, the comfort of having Jesus Christ as our shepherd would be true only for the people, only for us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so, even in the passage of the scriptures, the Bible tells us that we have gone astray like sheep, and that we have crossed our territory and we are dead and trespasses in sin. And so the shepherd seek out for us and then he died for us. So the ultimate ministry of Jesus Christ is to suffer on our behalf, to suffer on our stead. So we must follow Jesus Christ because he is our Savior. And I want to let you see this from verse 33 onwards here. And we must be wondering why Jesus need to suffer here. Why should be the ministry of Jesus Christ be suffering? Because in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah chapter 52 and 53, it says that Jesus Christ suffered for our stead. Jesus Christ suffered for in place of us. Jesus Christ suffered which we should be suffering. And the Bible tells us clearly that we are sinners even from before we know, from even before we come to our consciousness of our personal sins. We are born sinners. And even when we grow it up, we have the tendency only to go astray and only to sin more. We fall short of God's glory. God being God, he is a holy and he is righteous God, and we are not. And so humankind stand condemned in front of God, and we are to suffer the wrath of God, which would be in a place of hell where there is an everlasting torment of fire. And the book of Mark says that there would be a worm that does not die. And that is the place where we need to be. And that is the wrath of God we need to bear. And we stand condemned before God. That's the reason Jesus Christ, he suffered instead of us. He was condemned, and then he bore the wrath of God. And then he, instead of perishing, instead of letting us perish, he gave us eternal life. And that's what we would be seeing here. Because if Jesus did not suffer this, surely we would be suffering. And no other people can suffer this, because all of us, all human beings, are sinners. Jesus Christ, he can suffer for us because he has no sin, and he is a God. He is a holy and righteous God, and he can bear the wrath of God, and he can appease the anger of God. And that is the reason only Jesus could able to bear the cross. Only Jesus could able to suffer for us. And that's how we see here. And so in this verse 33 and 34 onward, Mark has given us, and Jesus Christ has predicted, 7 descriptions about his suffering. And we see that one in the first. It is, he will be delivered over to the chief priests, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And we saw the 7 descriptions of Jesus' suffering in his ministry as he tried to save humankind, those who believe in him. And these 7 descriptions were already predicted in the Old Testament. And it was also fulfilled after 1 week when Jesus Christ has entered Jerusalem. This suffering of Jesus Christ, all the 7 descriptions and other things, this Jesus suffered and it has brought us many things. But I want to tell you three things Jesus has done for us by his suffering from these seven descriptions as we are running out of time. And here, the first thing which Jesus done for us as a Savior is that he justified us. And that one, I would point you to verse 33 where it says, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem and the Son of Man will be delivered over the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles." By the way, the verse 33 is talking about the Jews. When it says, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem," Jesus Christ himself, he laid down his life, as he said it. He was walking on Jerusalem. And then when the word says, the Son of Man will be delivered, it has the idea of betrayal. So Jesus Christ was betrayed, and as we know, by his friend, by his close friend, Judas Iscariot. So Jesus Christ was betrayed by his close friend. And then he was delivered to the chief priests and the scribe. These are the religious elites of the people. And they will condemn him to death. By implication, this not only the Jews, not only the religious elite, but these people, the whole group of the nation Israel, they condemn him, Jesus Christ. So here what we see is a relational aspect of suffering that Jesus suffered from his best friend. Not a best friend, from his closest circle, his disciples, from friends till to the lowest people, from the chief priests, the religious elite, all of them, they condemn Jesus Christ to death. And they have delivered him over to the Gentiles. And when they deliver him over to the Gentiles, it is a very, very insulting thing, because they were giving their Messiah in the hands of Gentiles. And Jesus was condemned because we were condemned by God. And when Jesus Christ was condemned, and when we see this one as an action given even by the people, there is also a truth that Jesus Christ bore the condemnation of God when he come to God, and when he bore the cross, when he has decided to suffer for us. And so, in bearing our condemnation, Jesus Christ, he justified us. And here we, in the verse 34 also, we see it. "And they will mock him and spit on him." And these are the actions of the Gentiles. So here what we see here is the Jews and the Gentiles. The Gentiles are the people who are not Jews. So it means Jews and non-Jews. It means Jews and the rest of the mankind, the rest of the world. And so this, the Gentiles, they mock him and spit him. And I think this is an emotional aspect of Jesus suffering. Jesus was insulted. And if you turn it to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 verse 3-4. I would just like to read it out. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteem him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." So when Jesus Christ bore our sorrows, and when he was bearing physically the aspect of the people condemning him and insulting him, it is also true that behind the scene, God is crushing, God is giving his wrath upon him. And so when Jesus Christ has suffered for us, he not only justified us, but he has saved us from the wrath of God. And the third thing is, "And flog him and kill him." And this is the aspect of physical suffering in Jesus' life. In doing this one, here the Gentiles along with the Jews, they have decided to kill Jesus Christ. They have crucified Jesus Christ. And because Jesus died, we live. So when Jesus Christ was that when he was killed on the cross, the implication for us is that because Christ died for us, we live. Because even in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish anymore, but have everlasting life." So Jesus Christ, by his suffering, he not only justified us, he not only saved us from the wrath of God, but he also give us an eternal life. There are many aspects of Jesus' suffering, and there are many things which Jesus Christ has done for us. But I am just telling from this prediction and some relations which I find here. And then the last verse says, "And after 3 days, he will rise." This is the completion or the finished work of Jesus Christ, and as well as the present ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, his ministry was shepherding the people as well as saving the people. And then he was killed, and then he was resurrected. By when he raised up, it shows that Jesus Christ was not killed by sin, but that he laid down his life and he rose it up. He conquers over the power of sin, the power of death, the power of Satan. And also that he appeased the wrath of God, and his sacrifice was acceptable to God, and that God did not need to condemn us anymore, but that because Jesus lives, he gives us life and we live. And so Jesus Christ is a living God, and he is living, and he is in heaven, and he will be coming back soon. And this Jesus Christ who lives is ever supporting us even now, though he is no longer on earth. And he is ever with us in all our sufferings and trials too. And even today, as we come for the communion, we come for communion, and Paul has instructed even in the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, the purpose of communion is that it is a remembrance of Jesus' death, and it is the proclamation of Jesus' death. But before I just close up, I would just like to read out lots of scriptures portion as an implication of what Jesus' death and suffering and what Jesus' suffering means to us and what it means for us to follow Jesus Christ. And I would like to read it out some scriptures portion. You don't need to turn to scripture portion. Therefore, I would not be quoting the scripture verse. I would just be reading it out. It says, we need to follow Jesus Christ, and we see the implication here from here. I would just like to read it. It says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his stead." And also it says that since Jesus Christ has suffered for us, and when we follow Jesus Christ, it means that we need to die to sin and we need to live to righteousness. "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." And as well as Jesus, following Jesus Christ means living our sins and living righteous to righteousness. Not only that one, we need to put off all the former things. And as Pastor John MacArthur says, we should not entertain the sins for which Jesus Christ died. And I would like to read out the scripture portion even for this one. And it says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the patience of your former ignorance. But as he called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." And lastly, from the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and I will close. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God." And following Jesus Christ is also to suffer for him. And we do that by looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. So we pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning that you have given us. Father, we thank you for the ministry of the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who left his heavenly throne. He came down as a born servant to serve us even to the point of death. And by his death, O Lord, we are redeemed, we are justified, and we have become your children. And Father, we thank you and we bless your name. And Father, you have come and not, Lord Jesus, you have come and not just die for us. You have called us out to be your people, and we need to follow your ways. And Lord Jesus, you have given us and instructed us in your words that, Lord Jesus Christ, you are a caring shepherd, and we can always trust you in all the times. And Lord Jesus, even in your suffering, you have tested all the pains and difficulties, the sufferings of this world. You have been tempted in every way. And Lord, you know in all what trials and temptation, we can trust you and we can pray to you. And that, Lord, we can go along in our journey of life. And Father, even as we come this morning, our Father, and as we remember what you have done for us and the blood that you have shed for us and the body that you have broken for us, O Father. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we remember it, and Father, may we continue to proclaim this, and may we continue to say that, Father, the cross of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ is a foundation of life, is our identity of life, whatever men may say, whatever the outcomes may be, Lord Jesus Christ, we will continue to believe it and will continue to hold firm to it. Lord, empower us and help us to do this. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.